So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, leaders are examples of unity. And Christian leaders are to be examples of the unifying message of Christ's accomplished work of faith, which is the gospel, the good news. And that's for all people. The gospel is a compelling life force God has provided against cultural influences that erode confidence we have in Christ. Our faith in Christ requires Holy Spirit involvement to stay ahead of spiritual attacks and thrive. We adapt and change by putting on the mind of Christ with the power of God and Christ in us. And as we read through, notice the plural pronouns in reference to Paul, Silas, and Timothy in this Thessalonian record. They were united in faith. What was their personal conversations like? It's interesting to think about what they talked about, how they kept themselves fresh and inspired one another. They would have been Christ-centered for sure. These men were powerful examples. What's interesting is there's no emphasis on anyone being physically healed in what we're going to read. Only the healing of hearts, the turning from darkness to light through the new birth. Also note especially how these three conducted themselves that led to God recording of the Thessalonians that their faith to Godward was spread abroad. Must have been a pretty powerful example. Chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel, the good news, Paul, Silas, and Timothy wrote, are exclaiming here, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So the gospel came not only in word, but it also came in power. And it came in the Holy Spirit. And it came in much assurance or full conviction or confidence. These three must have presented an amazing package of truth. Now, they had never met Paul, Silas, and Timothy, as far as we know. They came to Thessalonica and preached Christ. From all accounts, it was probably a short period of time. At least 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more, but at least 3 weeks that they were there. But they had such an impact that verse 6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction or mental pressure with the joy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there was pressure that came to bear from the city because many individuals were turning to Christ. Verse 7, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. The witness of Paul, Silas, and Timothy and their united front on the completed work of Christ was so powerful that these individuals in Thessalonica changed their lives. It says, from you, verse 8, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Here it is. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. The reason why it was their faith is because they had made it their own. They had embraced it, the work of Christ. And I love how it says here, your faith to Godward. What a great description of what faith is when we believe God, it's always towards God. But keep your finger here. I want to show you something in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that describes how Paul, Silas, and Timothy presented themselves. Because after they were in Thessalonica, they spent some time in Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians 3, look what it says here about the way that these leaders conducted themselves. It says in verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but the spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust or confidence have we through Christ to Godward. That's how our aim, our heart, our faith, it's through Christ to Godward. Back to Thessalonians. So you see, in a similar manner, the Thessalonians were demonstrating, and their example was reverberating because they were setting forth the faith that they had to Godward. And what changed with these people? How powerful was the gospel? How powerful was the witness of these three men? Well, verse 9 tells you, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They made a 180-degree turn. That's a pretty powerful message in a short amount of time. The key is the confidence that the leadership had in the accomplished work of Christ. And this is what the Thessalonians picked up on. And verse 10 says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The power of the Holy Spirit can be demonstrated in the manifestation of the Spirit, but also in the ability to change, the ability to receive the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ by putting on the mind of Christ. And then people's lifestyles can change for the better. Well, it doesn't stop here. In chapter 2, we keep reading. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. In vain means empty, like hollow. There's nothing in it. It wasn't like that. See, sometimes people's words or people's actions, they ring hollow to us. We become skeptical because we don't see meaning and purpose. We don't see conviction and resolve. And so we're skeptical about their words because we don't see their words line up with their actions either. Human beings are like this. When we see people that just, they don't line up with their words and their actions. Well, that's not what the case is here. Verse 2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, that's referring to chapter 16 when they were put in prison for preaching Christ, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention, meaning in the spiritual arena. See, they were shamefully entreated. But how did they respond? They didn't cower. They just got bolder. That communicates something to people. When they see people being mistreated or unjustly treated, maligned, if you will, and yet they become bolder. How can a person do this? Well, the message that they have must be pretty powerful. Because culture can be very squelching. People can be very intimidating. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy, even though they had been shamefully entreated, they responded with boldness. They were not victims. The leadership example, we cannot allow ourselves to be examples of victimization. It's more than a conqueror that we need to demonstrate to people. It says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. There was no deception or impurity. They didn't bait the Thessalonians. Look how open and Paul is and Silas and Timothy. It's amazing how they presented themselves, and because of their witness and the gospel that they spoke, this entire group was moved from idols to serve the living and true God. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. As they moved through the city of Thessalonica day in and day out, and they had interactions with people, they were not looking to please the people. They were looking to please God. And that came across. For neither at any time used we flattering words. They didn't try to sales pitch these people. They didn't use flattering words, as you know. Nor a cloak of covetousness, which is greed. God is witness. See, the example of this unified group to reach the Thessalonians was so solid, they were so locked in on the work of Christ, that even though each of them had different personalities, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were locked in, unified on the gospel. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. They could have used their position to kind of leverage their way in, but they didn't do that. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, or a nursing mother cherisheth her children. Look at how gentle they were among them. Yet at the same time, they were powerful. That whole velvet and steel concept that leaders can be as needed. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. They demonstrated that affection. They weren't after any gain. They were after representing Jesus Christ. For ye remember, brethren, watch this, our labor and travail for laboring night and day. Now, these were not lazy people. They were not slothful. They didn't come in for a handout. They worked while they were preaching and teaching the word. Why? Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. They didn't necessarily want to put any burden on the Thessalonian believers. They didn't want to do that. So they labored night and day so as not to burden the believers. And all this was part of them being leaders as examples in a unified manner. So if perhaps one of them was by themselves during that period of time that they were in Thessalonica, which is possible, more than likely, they would have retained the same conviction. Their words would have reflected the same faith of Jesus Christ. They would have backed each other up, come hell or high water. And look at the impact. Amazing. Amazing. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now they're using, again, kind of a parental metaphor, first a nursing mother and now as a father, that encourages, that charges, that comforts. You see the tenderness and the genuineness of this. The gospel is not something we sell to people. We proclaim it and teach them as appropriately. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So they would have been teaching them about the kingdom of God and the glory of the future. The kingdom of God, meaning his sovereignty and care over all things for all time. And they would exhibit this. So that means it came out in their words. It came out in their actions. Absolutely. It would have been reflected in their attitude. And the Thessalonians picked up on it. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And they know that's true because they did believe and they did change their lives. The power of the Holy Spirit isn't just the manifestation of the Spirit. It's also the fruit of the Spirit. It's also the ability to change the course of our life if we want to. We have the power of the mind of Christ. Look at chapter 3. We'll see a little bit more now because Paul sends Timothy back to check on the Thessalonians while he was in Athens. In chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, they had already believed God. So, why do they need establishment and why do they need comfort concerning their faith? Why is that? It's because life needs maintenance. You can't teach this stuff one time. The world encroaches. The intimidators come. The challengers are there to refute and reject the things of God in Christ. That's why we come back again. We revisit again. You can't just teach this stuff one time. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we're appointed thereunto. Look at verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know what? Your faith. Chapter 3, verse 5. And the word know is to experience. I sent Timothy to experience your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Absolutely. He wanted to see the faith in action again. And where would you see it? You'd see it in their words. You'd see it in their actions. You'd see it in their attitudes. Our responsibility and privilege, if you will, is not a one and done. It's an ongoing ministering situation and arrangement till we draw our last breath. It's not one and done. People need help. They need encouragement. They need strength. They need to see people that have confidence in the Lord. And what ends up happening is they receive that modeling, that example, and they in turn want to be confident in the Lord as well, just like the Thessalonians. So he sends Timothy back, and look what Timothy says in verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith. There it is. It's not that they were saying the word faith every other minute. Not at all. You know that. It's that they were rooted and grounded in the work of Christ. They knew that the end of faith is hope, the return of Christ. That's right. And charity, which is love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Wow. The good news of faith brings comfort to those who are themselves challenged. We spread around the wealth because our confidence is through Christ to Godward. No matter what goes on in this world, no matter what we face, God has already provided the solutions and the answers and the deliverance. 100%. Verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, wait a second. How can there be lack in someone's faith? Well, the world will chip away at people. The world will marshal its resources. meaning satanic resources at times. Weak charactered people will wear you down. And so at times there needs to be periodic visits. There needs to be encouragement and strengthening one with another. And that's what Paul is saying here. Because there needs to be mending. Face it, life causes friction at times, and there may be ruptures and issues that need to be dealt with and healed regarding people's faith, which means their confidence because of the negative influences that the world propounds. This is a powerful message in the book of Thessalonians. They work together as a unit, and they presented the gospel, the good news. And what we see here is leaders are examples of the unifying message of Christ's accomplished work of faith, which is the gospel. And that's for all people, all people. And the gospel is the most compelling life force God has provided against cultural influences that erode people's confidence that we have in Christ. So this stuff needs to be taught again and again and ministered on an individual basis. It's not just a pat rote necessarily teaching. It's ministered to a specific person at a specific time. And our faith in Christ requires Holy Spirit involvement to keep us ahead of the spiritual attacks so we can thrive in a crooked and perverse generation and shine as lights. We adapt, we change by putting on the mind of Christ with the power of God in Christ in us. And as we do this together, it presents a unified front of blessing, of grace, of mercy and peace, and wins the day for God's people. But again, it's not one and done. It's going to be an ongoing arrangement, if you will, as we walk this earth until the return of Christ.